Well, let's turn in the Word of the Lord to Psalm 127. If you're visiting here today, or you weren't with us last week, we started a mini-series on the family that takes us today, after having looked at the sanctity of marriage last week, to children born to us in the Lord. And it's from Psalm 127 that we use as our resource there. And it's not talking there, obviously, only about the giving of children, so we'll be covering other matters here as well, but certainly children are included as we read from this psalm. So Psalm 127, and we're going to read the five verses there. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Let's take a moment to respond to God's word with a moment of prayer, asking that the ministry of this word and the reading of this word may be of benefit to us and a glory to his name. Our Heavenly Father, would you ask that for Jesus' sake you'll give guidance to us as we are led in the word. We're glad that we can have it read publicly, and we're thankful that it can be ministered to us, Lord, without fear. May we respond, Father, as we ought, to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the fruits of that gospel that come our way when our trust is in the God on whom we can depend, the God of all grace. May we give glory unto your name, even in our listening this morning, and certainly in the proclaiming and our responding to your word. And may your Spirit help us to that end. We ask these things, dear Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I suppose that if I were to, or you were to ask people, and a host of people, what is most precious to them, or what matters to them the most, you would get a host of answers. But this passage reminds us of what ought to be most precious, and what ought to matter the most. And what ought to be most precious is what God gives us. It's what God gives us by his grace, leading to the glory that God deserves. It's a passage that really at its heart calls us to give God the glory as the God of all grace. It's a passage that should be reminding us that it's the God of all grace. It's that God who builds for us, who cares for us, and who supplies our children. Now, I mentioned that this mini series on family includes children. Children are included in the gifts God gives. And boys and girls that are here today, you are included in this sermon. You're included in this message, just like you're included in the Bible. You're here. You're in Psalm 127. You're in this message. And you are going to be hearing for a few moments, in a few moments, about how your arrows to your mother and to your father. It's not going to be till later in this sermon, but you have some time to think about what it means to be an arrow to your mom and dad and see if that kind of lines up with what I'm going to say later on about you being an arrow to your mom and dad and what that means. What is to be most precious to us is the God who builds, the God who cares for us and the children he supplies. Verse 1 starts out by saying to us that unless the Lord build the house, the laborers labor in vain who build it. God, of course, is not just talking to contractors here. So that the rest of you who don't swing a hammer or shoot one of those nail guns don't have to listen. No, God's not just talking about people who build houses. They're not excluded either, but he's not just talking about them. God is talking here to us about the activities that we carry out from day to day, the things we do, the labors of our hand. So what does that exactly mean? What does he mean that unless the Lord build the house, the laborers labor in vain? Well, God, we know, is a builder. He's a creator. Hebrews 3:4 says, God is the builder of all things. He's the creator. It's part of how he reveals himself to us, which is, of course, why we confess God the Father, the maker of heaven and earth. But as we've seen, God isn't just the God who creates, but he's God that has his hand in everything. He remains the sovereign over everything and over all the activity in the world. And as we heard last Sunday night, in him we live and move and have our being, and we need to respect that. And what becomes a very foolhardy thing then, and a very foolhardy thing to do then, is to approach our activities, to approach the work of our hands, whatever that might be, whatever it is that we're doing, without acknowledging our dependence upon the blessing of the Lord. Because when we don't, the passage is very clear to us that our labors, that our activity doesn't mean anything. It loses its meaning. It loses its purpose. Now, the world is just absolutely filled with activity. And so is your day. You could probably think right now in your life about what's going to be going on after you leave here, because even though it's a day of rest, there's things to do. And we find ourselves speaking even about how we can't get everything done because we're so busy. Happens to you, happens to me. I look around and I think I spend the day doing all kinds of things. And then I look at some of the things I didn't do and I go, why didn't I get to that? Because there's a lot to do. Great deal of effort and energy. It's expended every day. And you might see it in your life quite obviously. But not just effort. But there's this desire to advance, to accomplish, to improve, to build, to get farther along. Some of you want to get stronger. Some of you want to get smarter. It's that time of the year, right? I mean, we are back to school. We've got Sunday school, catechism starting up again. We've got all kinds of programs that are out there that are meant to advance us, to make us grow, to get us better, to be further equipped. Some want to get wealthier. Some want to get smarter. Some are spurred on. Maybe you're like that. What spurs you on is that as the day comes to an end, what gives you that sense of of completion or accomplishment is getting that work done. You just love that sense of satisfaction. You might want to get better at something. You're practicing. You're practicing your instrument. You're practicing with a team that you're a part of. Maybe you're coaching to help other people get better at those things. Or maybe you're trying to teach somebody how to be a better piano player. Or maybe just trying to teach your little ones, you know, a better way of cleaning the table afterwards, after you've eaten. Some want to be more popular. They don't like the fact that other people aren't paying attention to them. Some of us are trying to get healthier. Some simply want to live a more pleasurable life. There isn't any end to the activity that takes place. And some of them are very noble matters, and some seem very mundane. But there's a lot to do every day, isn't there? There's much that's done throughout the day and throughout the world, throughout your life, and throughout the lives of myriads of people that you don't even know. People are working hard in this world. And some are working from sunup to sundown, even as our passage says, and they're just eating the bread of anxious toil because their work is a work that they feel completely depends on them. And yet the Lord says that unless the Lord build the house, the laborers labor in vain. You know, what often helps us to understand a passage that kind of makes our heads scratch a little bit, and even passages that we think that we always know really well, it helps to be able to look at more clearer passages. I preached this sermon, not this particular sermon, but I preached this passage 14 years ago. And as I was going back to this and looking at this, I still was saying to myself, How can I understand this clearer, and how can I present it clearer? Well, the Apostle Paul would say that when our labors are in the Lord, they're never in vain. In fact, that we're supposed to be abounding in the work of the Lord, because when we're laboring in the Lord, our labors are not in vain. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. If we're laboring outside of the Lord, then our labors are empty, aren't they? Now, that doesn't mean that God's people don't benefit from what other people do outside of the Lord. I have people that I imagine who fix my car. I mean, some of the people I know who fix my car are in the Lord, and I've appreciated them. But I have other people who fix my car who don't know the Lord. I benefit from that because they can do that job better than I would ever be able to do it. And so, yeah, I mean, we benefit from what other people do outside of the Lord, but what we do can do us no real good without the blessing of the Lord and being connected to the Lord and serving and giving glory to the Lord, who's the God of all grace. Lord's Day 50 says in the Heidelberg Catechism that our work and our worry and our gifts do us no good without God's blessings. And it makes that confession among other ways in response to Psalm 127. None of them and none of all we do means anything otherwise. Maybe the Tower of Babel is the supreme example of that in Scripture. You know, people are building that tower, and they're not building it for the sake of God's name. They're not building it in order to call upon the name of the Lord. Not to glorify him, but they want to make a name for themselves, they say. And it was never finished, was it? In fact, it ended in chaos, in linguistic chaos. All these languages come up and nobody is able to communicate. And it's just a cacophony. It's just chaos. It's a mess. It never accomplished what it set out to do. And that was to bring meaning and purpose and security and actually self-glorification to a person's life. And the reason that that man-made house ended in vanity was because it wasn't the Lord's house. That only the Lord of grace can build and does. We cannot build that house. Only God can, unless the Lord build the house. We can't bring that meaning simply by our own efforts and activity, no matter how important we think we are and how important it is that we do what we're doing. Now, that doesn't leave us without hope. Of course it doesn't. What it should do is it should lead us to the God of grace, doesn't it? Shouldn't it? Because it's when the God of grace rebuilds us by his grace, as his holy temples in Jesus Christ, it's only then that our work can be good. Only then. Paul would say that we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. We don't know what we should do. We don't know how we should do it. We don't know why we should do it. And we can't do it unless God builds us first. Only through the God of all grace at work in us. And then, seeing ourselves as God's tools, can our activities have its meaning. Only by his grace will we give him the glory for what we do. Only then is what we do worthwhile. Only the person who has been built as God's holy house says, it's the God of all grace who allows me to build. It's the God of all grace that gives me the ability to build. It's the God of all grace that enables me to have the insight to see that life isn't just about you getting stronger or better or more skilled or healthier, to get faster, to get smarter, to be able to fix a car or to get married or to stay single or to raise kids or teach kids or befriend others or be befriended. Life's about doing all these things with God in mind for his glory and with a humble dependence on him as we pray to him for help to do them, as we practice what we do in the help he's given, and as we praise him for the help he gave. Apart from him, I can do nothing. But in Jesus Christ, I can do all things that he wants me to be doing for his praise, because he gives me the strength and the ability to do it. So what's the reason that you're doing what you're doing? What's the reason? If all you're doing is just for you, you need to change your reason for living. Your reason for living needs to transfer away from you to the God of all grace who remakes people in Jesus Christ, so that our labors, no matter how active we are, no matter how busy we are, no matter how important we think we are, can have the meaning that they need. Because unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain who build it. You and I need to give God the glory for what we do, which can only happen if we first acknowledge that we need God to remake us first, not by what we do, but by what the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ does. That's first things first. We also need to give God the glory for his care over us. Unless the Lord keeps watch over the city, those who watch over the city are awake in vain. They stay awake in vain. They watch in vain. Now, perhaps the worshipers, you notice in the title of the psalm, it's called the Song of Ascents, and you know there's a series of them that are here, right, in this portion of the psalms. Well, perhaps the worshipers were heading to Jerusalem, and they were impressed with the defense that Jerusalem had. Not only because they had watchmen watching its walls, but as the passage says in Psalm 125, there were mountains that were surrounding Jerusalem. But even there we read that there was something more important than mountains, let alone watchmen who stayed awake at night surrounding the people of God. It was the care and it was the keeping of the never sleeping Lord who surrounds his people now and evermore. And that, of course, is something that's said in a previous song of ascent, that the keeper of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Psalm 121. See, it's one thing to be building things, but it's another thing for us to secure what we've built and what's valuable to us. And we want to secure what's valuable to us. It's odd for us not to want to do that. And when we don't, and then somebody finds out that you lost something because you didn't secure it, people will just roll their eyes and say, well, why didn't you make things safe? Security is a big deal today. Now, I suppose it's always been a desire of people on the whole to try to keep things safe and secure, the things that are precious to us. But we are sure mindful of how desirous people are to keep things secure today, aren't we? We have locks on our door. We have chips in our keys so that it doesn't cost us $10 to get a replacement key anymore. It costs us $300. So don't lose your keys. We have chips in our credit cards. We have passwords for our accounts on the internet. So many times and so many of them that we can't remember them all. And so there's a line there that says, forget your password. How many of you haven't had to hit that a few times? We even have dual authentication? Authentication, yeah. Dual authentication. It's almost like another word I don't say very well. Passwords on passwords, right? We have satellites that can give us warnings of oncoming hurricanes. We start wondering if maybe we're one of those people in Equifax where we've had our accounts hacked. Used to be that when you heard about somebody hacking something, that was just that somebody was chopping at something with a dull blade. Not anymore. We have security cameras for protections. We have dark glass on our cars for protection. We have police who protect us. We have military who defend us. We have regulations and codes so that we can protect ourselves from ourselves. We have banks and vaults and safes to keep the valuables from being robbed. We have lockdowns at schools. You can't go in without somebody first buzzing you in. We even organize everything in our house so that we can try to be mistake-proof, so that we can protect ourselves from chaos, because we don't want any chaos in our house. And our alarms go off to ward off intruders, and we visit doctors to protect our health, and we go to Whole Foods to make sure that we can keep ourselves and deliver ourselves from medical evil. We do all sorts of things to protect our kids, from child safety seats to making sure that they have toys where they can't swallow small parts for little children who are under 3. There's the National Safety Council. There's the National Safety Commission. There's the National Highway Traffic Safety Committee. There is the Department of Homeland Security. We do so many things to take care of ourselves. And many of them are good. Watchmen on the walls of Zion was a good thing. And yet, unless God takes care of us, and we know His unsleeping care, so we can get sleep, unless we know Him, what does it matter? It's good to take precautions. God doesn't want us to throw caution to the wind. But what if you get sick anyway? What if someone still steals you blindly? What if you're not as well-to-do as that person across the pew? What if our health isn't what it once was? And it's nagging. And what if our children treat us poorly? Or our parents did us wrong? Or what if we keep our health or our children are nice to us? And we can buy anything that we want, and we don't even think about it. We don't use a coupon. What's most important is not whether we were robbed or not, or whether we're healthy or not, or whether everyone likes us or not. What matters, what really matters, is that we can, and not only that we can, but we give God the glory because we know we can sleep. He gives to His beloved sleep because God's never asleep at the wheel. When we lay our heads to rest. Thanks to His fatherly care in our Lord Jesus. Do you ever find yourself acting like God doesn't care? Nothing matters unless we believe that God will always take care of us, no matter what, in Jesus Christ. We need to give God the glory because we belong to His lasting city, whose designer and whose builder is God in Jesus Christ. Finally, we need to give God the glory for the children He gives. We hear that sons are a heritage from the Lord. That's a beautiful thought. Children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. In Scripture, God calls His covenant people His heritage. Psalm 33, verse 12, very familiar verse that way, says this: "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen as His heritage." Psalm 94, Verse 14 speaks in very similar tones. For the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. Psalm 135 speaks about heritage this way, as the land promise of Canaan, the inheritance that God had promised his people. Psalm 135, verse 12. He gave the land of Sihon and Og, the kingdoms of Canaan. He gave their land as a heritage to his people, Israel. And verse 21 of Psalm 136 speaks in similar tones, that he gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. Heritage, you see here, means an inheritance. It means a prized possession given as a gift for noble purposes. Gifts from God who entrusts them to the care of those to whom he gives them. What we do is precious by the grace of God in Christ. The gracious care of God in Christ is precious beyond anything that we possess. But it is especially good when we know that the children born to us are precious because they too have been given by the gracious hand of God in Jesus Christ. Unbelief has a hard time with that. Now, not completely. Plenty of unbelieving people rejoice in the children that are born to them. But you know that there's that philosophy that's out there that children, and especially the unborn, are not so precious. They're expendable. They're disposable. There's a mentality that's out there that says we shouldn't be rejoicing in the birth of children because they're a liability to the planet. They're overpopulating it. And all they do is take and they never give. They're curses. Boys and girls, you are not curses. Not in God's eyes. You're not. You're not curses. You are blessings to your moms and dads. And you're meant to be blessings to your moms and your dads and to your grandparents. You're meant to be arrows. You remember I said I'd mention that. I didn't forget. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, are the children of one's youth. Why is that? A quiver is a container where you keep your arrows. You know, Robin Hood would not want to be without his arrows. They were indispensable to him. You know what that means? They couldn't live without them. Robin Hood couldn't live without his arrows. That's how precious they were to him. They were of great help to them. You can be a great help and blessing to your parents. And you're going to be that way the older you get if you follow God's ways. When you listen to them, when you follow in the footsteps of faith in Jesus Christ, with every day that you grow older, boys and girls, you can be more and more a help to them as they are a help to you. It is a beautiful thing. I remember with all my kids, times where I could look in their lives and I could say, wow, I'm not just helping them. They're helping me. What beautiful arrows in the quiver. Passage says that when you get older, you can protect your mom and dad and defend them as they get older, just as they're looking after you right now. Now, you could grow up to be a problem for your parents. People do that. But that just causes trouble. And then you're being the exact opposite of what God has called you to be, and that is to be a blessing. That's what he brought you into this world to be. Not a curse. And you are to be the greatest assets to your moms and your dads. Far greater than whatever they can build and far greater than anything that they want to try to lock up. We want our children to be there for us when we're old. Well, we need to be there for them now, when they're young. And we need to be different that way than a world that the only time they ever see their kids is when they wake them up in the morning and put them to bed at night. We need to be there for them. Because they're precious treasures God has given to us and entrusted them to our care, to our care. No greater child was born into the covenant community than Jesus Christ himself. He is described as the indescribable gift of God to the covenant family of God, the Church of Jesus Christ. But every children born to families of faith are meant to be treasures and to act like treasures of God, like Christ, like arrows in the quiver, arrows for an archer. So I'm going to ask you all again, what's most precious to you? What matters? Is it giving glory to the God of all grace who builds your life in Christ, who cares for your life in Christ, and is the source of our children in Christ as treasures? Those are the things that are supposed to matter in our lives. Because unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Amen.